morning we want to begin a short series, which will be at least two sessions this morning at 10 and 11, and perhaps will include even tonight, but I cannot promise that. I do not know. And the session that we are beginning concerns a series that I think we really need to be familiar with, and that is how to critique Bible study. I'm sure all of you have been exposed to Bible study groups anywhere from Sunday school, whether you gathered together as a group and discussed a passage, or whether you were involved in an independent study. And I think some of you are. I think, Nancy, you have an independent study through Christian Women's Club, and I believe Della Terry does too. And they have had excellent results, and yet we want to evaluate and become a good critic of what is fraudulent in Bible study. Now, by fraudulent, I mean this. I'm not talking about anybody's motivation. I think many, many people who have bad Bible studies have good motives, and that can easily be. So by fraudulent, I simply mean something is promised that is not delivered. And the thing promised is the study of the Bible. And I've considered several options. One would be, but is this Bible study? Have you ever been involved in a class that was called a Bible study class? And you had that question, is this really Bible study that we're doing or not? And so we've called the series Fraudulent Bible Study, not with a reference to anyone's motives, but with a reference to, does it really deliver what promised? And the thing promised was the study of the Word of God. I was trained in a fairly classical type of education, and sometimes I laugh at the things that people call study. I want to say, is this study, or is this something quite different? And I think it is. And very often in fraudulent Bible study, you learn things or hear things that really sound good. They really sound good. They sound very helpful. But you must add the question, are they also true? And therefore, both next session and this hour, here is our introduction to what we are about to do. Fraudulent Bible study, or it sounds good, but is it true? I didn't mean to begin this way, but I am beginning our Bible study this morning, and I have up here my notes. I have some publications up here, but one thing I am lacking, and I need to stop for a second to get it. I forgot my Bible. Now, I think one of the things you need to do in teaching is, can you begin your series by putting it all together? Can you say everything that is going to be involved in a few short words? And I believe you can. And I believe you can do it in this way. That every study of the text is one of two things. And these are big words, but they're words I think we need to know. Every time we open the text of the Bible, we do one of two things. And please don't back off because of the long-sounding names, because they're good names. We either eisegete or exegete. Eisegesis, well, let's flip on the overhead and look at the words. You see the word divided into two parts, right after the word eis and right over the word ex. And the end word is exegesis, and it means to lead,
to lead. In both cases, it means to lead. However, there is a difference in the way you lead with the Word of God. You can lead out of it, or you can lead into it. Leading into is eisegesis, because the word eis or ace means into. The word ex means out of. We put down the two words to or from. Exegesis leads ideas into the text. Huh? Did I say it backwards? Okay. Eisegesis leads into the text. Exegesis leads out from the text. And every error in all Bible study is one of the two. This explains all of your cults. The Jehovah Witnesses, I believe, lead their ideas into the text. But do they use it? Do they use the Bible? Do they carry Bibles? Yes, they do. And that's one of their very deceiving things, is someone comes up and here they have under their arm the Bible. And the implication is that we're going to find out what it says, and then we turn around and read into it what we want it to say, or what we think it to say. The Bible is very much abused. Clear down not only to reading meaning into it, but into implications drawn from it. You probably saw on the front page of USA News Today, a picture of the president with his daughter. And the most prominent thing about the picture was what? You could read it. Holy Bible. I mean, it was readable. And so if you take a photograph and are able to read that what he has in his hand is the Holy Bible, there's obviously a reason for doing that. So God's Word gets abused in many, many ways. And what I hope to do today is to help you or reaffirm that you ought to be a good judge. You ought to be a good critic of what is the Word of God read into it. What is the Word of God read out of it? Now, perhaps this is not the time to do it, but I'm going to anyway. We all have in our hands this morning, let's put it this way. None of us has in our hands this morning the Bible. And we say that from two standpoints. Number one, we do not have the pure Bible text. I would venture to say none of us do. Now, why do I say that? Because, what do I have here that is not the Bible text? Do you have margins? Do your margins have notes in them? Who put them there? God? No. You have notes that were placed there anywhere from some very good Bibles to some not so good, and I'd like to talk a little bit about those. Often people say, what is a good study Bible? And I can pick up a catalog here from a well-known and a very good publisher, which is CBD, Christian Bible Discount Company, I believe it is. And they put out some very good stuff. But please remember, anyone and everyone who publishes books, Christian books, or publishes study Bible has a primary motivation. Can anyone guess what it is? to make money. Sometimes we get a little bit of a holy era. For example, we think of the Christian publishers such as Zondervan. And they do publish some fine works, excellent works. But Zondervan publishes for one reason. To make money. Probably one of the most non-Christian in belief publishers is the publisher of the Scofield Reference Bible. And they are in it for money, believe me. And I have to be very careful in saying this because I don't want to be unduly critical of a person's motivations. But basically, you must remember, all publishers are in business to make money. Now, I didn't say that's bad. I didn't say that's bad at all. If you got a business and it costs to publish many of the things they publish, you have a Bible in your hand that is leather-bound, that costs money to publish like that. So I'm not saying that this is wrong or evil. I'm just saying, don't think they are publishing out of the goodness of their heart. They are publishing in order to sell and to make money, which is okay, but you just need to know that. Now, let me take a few of the study Bibles that are out there and see if you can see on the basis of this, first of all, that all of them contain eisegesis. Now, in case you think I'm trying to be unduly critical, and I think he would agree with it, the Ryrie Study Bible, which I think is very, very good. But what does it have in connection with the text of Scripture? It has the comments of Charles Ryrie. And I think those comments many times are helpful and they are good. But in this session, we're trying to be purists. And purists in the sense that don't you want the text of the Word of God and remind yourself that really, beginning right up here at the front, we do not have in our possession, unless we're very discreet, we do not really possess the Word of God. Now let me read a few of what I would call sometimes good, sometimes bad, but always eisegetical. Did you hear that? Sometimes good, sometimes bad, but in the basic sense, always eisegetical. And I read through the catalog just to give you a few examples so you can see what I mean. The NCV, Inspirational Bible. It's published in soft cover, hard cover, and bonded leather. Running from $16.95 to $32.95. And here is the little blip on what this Bible is all about. Best selling author. Did you hear me? Best selling author, Max Lucado, offers his unique insights on God's Word. What is that called? It's eisegesis. May those insights be good? Yes. But they're still, and we're trying to be purists now, they are still eisegetical. And this one is available. It has dramatic book introductions, topical writings by Lucado. It has hundreds of inspiring excerpts, life lessons from the works of Lucado and others. And I'm not saying on how good they are, but can you see what we're saying? Don't we want the text? Here is another one that is called the Woman's Study Bible. The Woman's Study Bible. It's designed by women from a variety of denominational backgrounds. Now, what does that have to do with it? Here is a Baptist woman's view on the text. Here is an Episcopalian woman's view on the text. Here is a Methodist view on the text. Now, there's nothing wrong with reading and seeing those views, but keep in mind, it is not the pure Bible text. It has 80 godly contributors, and it names who they are, but I will not name them. Well, I will name one, Joni Erickson Tada. Does anyone know of her? She, to my mind, is a real hero of the faith. She is a quadriplegic, and the way she views and honors God is wonderful. Great lessons can be learned from Joni Erickson Tada. I'm not sure I would want her to be my Bible teacher, but I do salute her for the honorable way in which she approaches the Word of God and her sincerity in the Christian life. And we have many of those. Amy Carmichael. How many have heard the name, Amy Carmichael? She has some wonderful things to say. Her life is a very creditable one. When she was a child, a baby really, a doctor treated her eyes with something that blinded her. It was a mistake, a medical mistake. And she was blind all of her life. She never sued the doctor. She just said, God is the primary cause, and went on to be a very great lady. But so I'm not criticizing the character of any of these people in any sense of the word. Christian Growth Study Bible. If you're longing for a dynamic Christian faith, then this NIV Bible is for you. Is that a sell? They're all sell jobs. This is for you. It is designed to help you cultivate a closeness with God that's so powerful you want to share with others. Here is a, now here we're really deteriorating, I believe. Did you know there is a Promise Keepers Men's Study Bible? Have you seen it? Oh, you have missed so much. In this rather popular Bible, here's what it does. Discover what the Bible says about being a godly man. That means man in the male sense. And it has 350 in texts. Do you hear me? In text. What does it mean? Into text. It has 350 instances of eisegesis. And these, here you have 350 in-text notes tied to the seven promises of a promise keeper. So he's saying we have gone to the Bible with what in mind? The seven promises. And we have imposed them in and over the text of Scripture so that they are most certainly there, which they most certainly are not there. But that many people read, and what are they saying? This is what I learned from my Bible. Here's a good one. Did you know there is a recovery Bible? It's for all those who are in any type of recovery from drugs, from alcohol, and therefore their Bible is a very specialized type thing that will give you in recovery. Is that a knowledge of the Bible? May I say, that is using the Bible. Are there things for a person who is in recovery in the Word of God? Yes, there are. And I would not deny that, but should we build that as the theme of the whole text? I don't think so. And I think that's why we're missing much today. Have you noticed the trend? The trend used to be the Word of God taught for everybody. Everybody learns the Word of God and should be taught it. And then we began to trend in a different direction. We began to trend in now if you're divorced, we have a special class over here for you. Because you have needs to be met from the Bible that are different than anybody else. I guess you grow in a different way. And we have all these specialty groups, and you have whole churches, do you not, that are built around, here's the recovering abusers group. Here are the married but single again groups, meaning divorced. You're not supposed to say divorced. You're supposed to say married but single again group. And you have these, and you've seen them, have you not, in churches? Do you recognize now that Bibles, whole Bibles, are being published by, here is the Bible for the recoverers. Okay, the Recovery Bible. Here is the, and this is what it's called, the Experiencing God Study Bible. Introducing a study Bible that shows how to know and experience God, not just read about Him. Here's something you probably have missed. The Original African Heritage Study Bible. Discover the African presence in the Word of God. Special features. Highlighted scripture of African places, people, and events. Should we publish a Bible formed about race? I don't think so. Our last one, and there are many, and this is coming out of this catalog. This one is one I would say don't even think of buying. Don't even touch. It is loaded with error. Dake? Anyone know Dake? Dake Study Bible. This is the classic Bible that is the classic Bible of the Charismatics. And in this Bible, and it is a popular Bible, leather binding, genuine leather, burgundy, publisher price, $98.99, CBD price, $72.95, and it has all types of, well, for example, on John 4, God is Spirit, Dake, I suppose that's his name, makes the comment that though God is a spirit, He does have physical features. We are taught in the Bible that God has a nose because He smells. God has a hand because the Bible speaks of His hands, His arms, and so forth. And He makes God out to be a person who has a bodily form. And there are many other atrocities in Dake. But if you have a charismatic friend that is serious about their charismatic type thing, they probably have Dake's Bible. And now the interesting thing that many of these Bibles do is they use the language with special emphasis on they use the languages. Now if I take and put in front of you something that most people are not aware of, and I would say to you that the Greek word found here is the word Lego. Now, chances are most of you cannot read that word, can you? You would not know that that is Lego. Do you know how long it would take a person to learn to write the Greek words? If you're just average, 2 days. 2 days ought to get it so you can do this. I was actually told once by a visiting speaker that came to talk to us about our ministry. And he said, now, if you want to truly impress your hearers, you need to occasionally slip in a Greek word. And I thought, my lands, what kind of thing is this? But you can learn to do that very, very quickly. And do you think that teachers have learned that this impresses? Of course they've learned that that impresses. And consequently you will use it, it's the right word, but use it for the wrong reason. Dake has 500 cross references, 8,000 sermon outlines. What in the world do I study for? I ought to play all week. There are, by the way, subscription services by the hundreds. I don't know whether we've gotten any for a while, but you can subscribe as a pastor to your weekly sermon. They're all made out, the illustration, the text. It's all there, and you can pull it together. If you're half a speaker, you can pull it together on Saturday night, and you've got it all made. Is that Bible study? I said that it is not Bible study in any sense of the word, and therefore we need to look at what true Bible study really is. Now let me give an opinion, and it's only an opinion, and it's I know it's far out, but I do not believe there should be study Bibles. Now, qualifications. Study Bibles where the commentary is in the text. Study helps that are on the text or about the text are, I think, okay. And the reason I say that is this. Don't you tend to take your marginal notes, and I know you don't really do this, but don't you tend to take these as the Word of God?
I hope you don't. But to me, there's an inherent danger when we impose on the text anything but the text. We're studying the book of Acts. Suppose this morning you had in your hands every one of these, how many did I name? I don't know, 6 or 8, and there are many, many more. What if you all had that text this morning? Could I teach? Might as well go home. Because one of you is looking out there and I'm making a point that the text makes about a promise made. And your mind is going immediately to what? Promise keepers. Your Bible text took you there. And we say something about Sarah. And all of the women scramble and say, oh, you're missing a great deal. Because do you know what I have in my woman study Bible? And so you want to say, I might as well give up and go home. Or if you talk about something like Noah was intoxicated by his son, and that's in your recovery Bible in a really special sense. I might as well forget trying to say anything from the text. Now, please understand, I am not in any way impugning motive. I am saying this, that the study of the text is ultimately tested against this particular area. The text of the Word of God, and I mean the bare text of the Word of God, we may do one of two things with it. We may eisegete or read into it, or we may read out of it. Now let me ask you this. Is it possible to do exegesis perfectly? Can I do that? Well, I can try.
But you know, I, like any other teacher, have biases, don't I? And there are times when you may listen and I may be reading into it something that is not really there. You ought to have the ability to check that out and say, is he eisegeting? I have looked many times at a repeated lesson, and sometimes you get so enthusiastic over a text that you build on it and you finish and you say, boy, I probably took that a little bit too far, didn't I? Have any of you ever seen, don't put your hand up, but have you ever seen me take something too far? And you say, that's a little bit more, Mac, than what the text really says. But you ought to be alert to that, because we want to understand the pure Word of God as it is. Okay, I think we'll stop at this point and begin with our study on this subject next hour. Father, we're thankful for your word that you've given to us. And we want to remember that we are to desire the sincere, the unadulterated, unmixed Word of God. And in this day, when so many men's opinions are placed in and over the text of Scripture, help us to learn that we need the pure Word of God if we are to grow. And help us to strive to be good critics who listen to teaching with care. Help us to be accurate students of your Word of God, because every misinterpretation is a substitution of the Word of man for the Word of God. In Christ's name, amen.